Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network. Founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Casper Cook, their vision was to start a radio show that helps authors reach their dreams. The World of Ink Network has a wonderful group of hosts who are also authors and dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help, strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows bringing not only entertainment but informative discussion on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. It's Marcia Cook, and it is Good Stories, a Good Story. And today we have a great guest, Julie Shirky from JKS. But I also see Virginia's in. So, Virginia, hello, Virginia.
Hello.
I see you're in. How are you? We have a great guest today. And I actually met her with you the first time. And we've been in contact for so many years already. And she's a great promoter. And we've had a lot of shows, but not with someone that is good. Julie's really good. I mean, she gets people where they need to go.
Oh, thank you. You're so kind. Marcia, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, we love having you on. I was just going to say somebody else was, I don't know if they, it's probably, we might have callers today. I don't really know. It's possible because, you know, you're very popular. We're hoping people call in, you know, because people have questions and they were always questioning Virginia and I. And with the world of being, we've been doing this almost 5 years already. And we talk about marketing, and we talk about promoting and this and that. And we see authors dropping like flies. True, Virginia?
Mm-hmm. Yes, very true. Yes,
it's true. So that's why we have Julian to help us tell everybody really the right way. Because, you know, Virginia and I have, over the last 5 years, we've decided one thing. You do have to pay to get your books out. And you have to get good people to do it. So, Julie, tell everybody about JKS.
Oh, thank you. Well, the world of publishing is just changing so much. On average, there are 3 million books a year coming out in the United States, which is 8,200 every single day of the year. And so when you think about that, you've got to do the most that you can to get your book noticed over anybody else's or everybody else's. But the good news is that it's not competitive in that if your book is purchased, somebody else's won't be, or if someone else purchases a book, it doesn't mean that they won't purchase yours. But you just need to help get that word out in this big tsunami. The thing that we tell our clients all the time is, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And we kind of have to remind them of that periodically because you work so hard on writing the book and you feel like, okay, I'm done, and you're not done. Now the hard part comes.
Right, exactly.
And I kind of look at it as an author is partly a small business owner because you have got to love your book more than anybody in the whole world does, and you've got to be the CEO of getting that book out there and promoting it just like any other product. And then I also think of it as being like a politician because a lot of authors will say, well, I don't want to do something if only two or three people are going to attend, or what if I do an event and there are not a lot of people? But I have this fantastic story that I think showcases why you just never know what's going to happen. Neil White is this amazing author of the book In the Sanctuary of Outcasts. It's his memoir. And he tells a story often of one of his friends who was on a book tour across the country, went in and would see 20 people in one event, and then maybe 50 people, maybe 100 people. And one night, there were two people that showed up. It was a rainy night, two people showed up. and he to a bookstore, and he brought it. I mean, he still was on for those two people, and he didn't think a thing of it. He went on the rest of his tour, and a few weeks later, he learned that one of the two people who was there was a very close friend of somebody on the nomination committee for the Pulitzer Prize that
year. Oh, my God. Wow.
That person gave the book. That book won the Pulitzer Prize because of that night.
Wow. Wow. Now, that's a story. No, that's a story because, you know what, it's really believable because I listen to a lot of other shows and, you know, and listen to what a lot of authors say. And, you know, maybe you are going to have five people at a book signing, but that's five more people. And then five more people will see you another time and 10 people. It's not really the attendance rate isn't good only because of e-books now. But I think if the Barnes & Noble and all these bookstores keep having them, hopefully people will attend.
Oh, I so hope so. And I look at one of our clients, Jenny Milchman, who is just an amazing thriller writer. And we've been with her since the beginning, and she was willing to go out and meet people face-to-face. And she would go to events, and sometimes there were a few people, sometimes there were many people, sometimes there were no people. But she just kept at it, and her third book is coming out this fall. And she now has been invited to do so many events that she's doing 100 events in 100 days around the country.
Wow, and you travel with them. You travel with these people. You travel with your authors.
Occasionally I do, not always. And with Jenny, I would die if I traveled with her. She's a maniac as far as being able to be on the road. She's incredible. But she takes her husband and her two children, and she now, I think, never has less than 50 people at her events. So, because she's just been building it up over time, and I really think, you know, if social media is a good way to get to know people, but it's also, I think that so many people then started using social media as the only way to promote their book, and I don't think that that's necessarily
enough.
The
it's
right
not
way
enough.
To do it. I
right.
think,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think that you should take the social media people that you meet over the internet. I think that you should get to know them in person. That's what Jenny does, and that's what a lot of our authors do now, is that they've gotten to know so many people around the country that when they go on tour, then they let them know that they're coming into town. They have lunch or dinner before the event, and then their friends from social media bring their friends, and they just get to know more people. And so really it's more like the virtual world is helping the real world now.
Yeah, because we have so many questions. Virginia, I know you got questions, and you may not stay the whole show.
Oh, I'm just listening right now.
Okay, all right, then I have a lot of questions. All right, now, you know, when an author, like you said, you're saying everything that we always say. If you do the book and you spend months and sometimes years on writing a book, and then think just because you get that book published or you indie publish it yourself, it's going to happen. And it may not happen till maybe your fifth book, but you got to keep going,
yes.
And you can't stop. And what you're saying, though, is if you have a book signing and it's a small group, it's fine. Who knows who you're going to meet? But a lot of people have stopped going
out.
Oh,
absolutely. I completely agree with that. And I think, too, we used to do virtual book tours. In fact, we were one of the first entities in the publishing industry to do it, and we would explain to bloggers at that point how to do it. And really, we're not so focused on virtual book tours. In the last 12 months, we're not seeing the bump that we used to with sales. So if you can, as an author, connect with a few bloggers that truly believe in you and really are going to promote you and not just throw something up, or if you're somebody who can get 300 bloggers to do something, but virtual book tours are not as successful as they used to be. The bloggers are important to know. It's also bloggers, VLOGGERS, are important to know. If you can get a hold of these people that do videos on YouTube, if you can connect with those people and start following them that do lifestyle and vlogs and makeup vlogs and they talk about real world stuff. They have millions of viewers, and you can do marketing through them, and you can get product placement.
Wow! So that's going on YouTube and looking for. Well, how would they start a search? What would they do for their own genre or you know? Or just
for,
marketing
for
or promotion?
Well, no, it would be for their own genre and then also what they're truly interested in, because if they start watching that person, one of the things about social media is that it truly is like a, it's like going into a cocktail party. And so when I see somebody on Twitter or Facebook saying, buy my book, buy my book, buy my book, I thought, I always think to myself, well, nobody would walk into a party and say, buy my book.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's the same thing on social media. And so I think that if, you know, if authors find people on YouTube that they like to follow and they start following them and paying attention to them and commenting, then they'll become known with that community of people who follow that blog. And then I think that it's a natural tie-in. It would naturally happen so that even if it's, you know, if they write, say that they're writing a cookbook and or they're writing a romance novel or it could be anything, but they're really tied in with these bloggers, and video is just hugely important right now.
Then
that can really, really help. And also posting your own videos about yourself and your book and getting your own channel, that also is a good thing to do. And maybe you won't get huge views at first, but as more people read you and more people want to know about you, this way they'll get a sense of who you are.
Right, you know, that's why, you know, the radio shows, you know, this is one of the best forms of communications because it follows, you know, you're going on a time, you know, all of our shows are, you know, out there for years and the topics are basically the same, so people can always listen to them and they don't go out of date, really. And so I think that when you're on a radio
totally
show.
I agree with you.
Yeah, when you're on a radio show, it's not just that one day.
We have authors that say, I don't want to do a one-shot. I only want to do radio shows that have podcasts that live into the future. And your radio show is a perfect example because you guys teach so many people so much information that it would be difficult to get otherwise. And I think people are really I think that what you're doing makes more sense than having somebody on a radio show that evaporates as soon as it's over.
Well, and also the other thing is all of our hosts, everybody, we're all authors. So the people that come on the show really get a good interview because we know about this. You, like, even if you're on TV, they go, oh, what's your book about? And that's it. And, you know, it's really hard to explain what your book is about in 2 seconds. And then even though you're supposed to be able to do it, it's still difficult to do that. And they don't know anything about it. But if you're on a radio show with hosts that also have their own books out there, we're the same as they are. We're trying to get out there and, you know, let people know who we are. And after five years.
I think that's very true. Yeah.
You know, I want to ask you one. I want to ask something that's been come up. Like, I've changed in the last, I've been doing this for like 20 years, but I've been changing a lot of the things I'm doing because you learn a lot and it's all about branding. And, you know, I'm noticing now the title matters more than ever because how do people find your book out there? You know, if you have a title that doesn't have anything to do with your book, they don't know what it is. They have no clue.
You are so right. You are so right. We just did some research for a book that we've got that's coming about online dating, and it was virtually impossible for us to find comps for that book because the online dating books don't have the word online dating in the title.
I know. I know. It's hard.
Yeah,
It wasn't like that a few years ago. It is now because there's so many people writing. How do you get noticed when there's like millions of people out there?
And I think you guys create a community for writers and authors, and I really like that. And I do think that writers and authors are really supportive of each other. And whenever it's possible to go to, you know, a writer retreat or a convention or that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's what we were going to talk about.
That's good. Yeah.
See, I've not done that yet. I'm not, like, loving flying, so I don't, but I have to do it because I want to meet different people, you know, and I meet people on the shows, and a lot of these people are at conferences. What conferences do you like that you would suggest for authors to go to?
Oh, gosh, there are some amazing conferences. We're kind of lucky. Our headquarters is in Nashville, and we have something that just started up called The Porch here, and they have workshops even over lunch for writers all the time. They probably have 200 events a year. And then there will be writer retreats, and I love those. There's the James River Writing Conference in Richmond, Virginia, and a lot of the people that go there end up with traditional publishing deals if that's what they want.
Really?
A lot of them come away with books. Oh, yeah. And then there's PubSense for that is in Charleston, South Carolina, and that is really encouraging for indie published authors as well as traditional published authors. I just came back from Pay It Forward in Charlotte, and that's mainly for self-published authors, indie published authors that just do e-books, and a lot of those authors are doing really, really well. And then Neil White, who I mentioned earlier, is somebody who has been through this several times, through this process in different ways. He's a publisher as well as an author, and he has a big publishing company, and he does creative nonfiction writing conferences, and most of the time they're in the South. A lot of times they're in Oxford, Mississippi, but creative nonfiction conferences with Neil White are golden. He tells you all the things that that nobody else will really be willing to tell you, because it's almost like telling. A lot of authors feel like it's almost like saying how much money they make when they tell the real specifics, and he tells the specifics. You walk out knowing the financial realities. Yeah. So those are some of my favorite, and I love University of Chicago has a great program. I'm going to be speaking next week in New York at Sarah Lawrence College, and that writing program is amazing.
They have
lots of well-known authors that come. Not even to present, but just to be in the audience. So yeah, there are lots of great conferences all over. And Poets and Writers Magazine you can look online or look through their magazines, and they have calendars of lists of conferences all over the country.
See, Nashville seems to be. I mean, actually, we're having I'm having a songwriting show in a couple of weeks. It's July 16th, I think I'm having it. But it's, you know, because people that are authors can also be songwriters, and Nashville, in general, that's what everybody is wanting to do these days. Is because Nashville, the show. I know you must be very busy in Nashville. I mean, but I want to go there, and I said that to you before. I am going to go to something. I
want
to be. I think it's like the heart of a lot.
Nashville.
Yeah.
I want you to come to Killer Nashville. Clay
Killer
Stafford puts that on. Yeah, it's called Killer Nashville, and Clay Stafford puts it on, and lots of people win. It's almost as big as VoucherCon and Thriller Fest at this point, and. Clay Stafford is an author who came up with this idea, and he sold almost 2 million books himself. And he's just really generous. And the people that go to his conferences each year end up with becoming. I mean, there are dozens of authors that he has cultivated that now have big names.
Wow.
I mean, like huge names. And so you've got to come for Killer Nashville to Nashville, and then we'll hang out together there.
Okay. All right, I want to, because, you know, the truth, well, you were in Chicago for a while, you know, so we got to meet, and it's really exciting always to meet the people that you talk to, you know, and Virginia and I have done shows for 5 years, so I'm working on maybe going to the Heritage. Virginia, do you want to mention what your Heritage for a second?
Yeah, what Mark was talking about is over the last 2 years, I've actually become director of the St. George Book Festival in, obviously, Southern Utah. And so Marcia and I have been talking about trying to get her out here and doing, and last year we even thought about it, but it was just too crazy for me to try and do, but actually broadcasting that festival.
Yeah.
Most of the festivals, they're usually like over a weekend, you know. Very, very few of them go more than like 2 or 3 days. And Utah Humanities Council oversees all the book festivals in Utah. And I was the first one when they had me come on and get the festival down here in St. George back up to spread it from, like, Monday to Saturday. And I'm actually going to meet for the first time Michael McClain from the Utah Humanities, which is who I report to there, for the first time. And last year we actually got the status of Sister Book Festival because Salt Lake's the number one festival, and we're almost neck and neck with them now.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. So I'm working on it. I probably will come to it, you know. But I, you know, because I do think it's important after, you know, this many years is to meet some of the people that you really are, you know, talking to, because, you know, after years you see so many people drop out, and the ones that are really the diehards are still at it. You know, they're not leaving. You know, they're staying.
Yep.
You know, the other people that think they were going to make $1 million is not happening, and so they're leaving, and they don't get it, but you know that. You know that, because I'm sure that they come to you and they think, oh, you know, it takes time, and that's what the good thing is, what you said before. It's not just one time. You can't expect it to happen. It takes a lot of time.
No. It does, and, you know, the joke is that the difference between a writer and an author is that the author never gives up.
Mm.
And it's true. I mean, there are up days, there are down days, but for the people who really are willing to put in the work, like both of you, you guys are amazing. And it's that kind of energy.
We keep going.
That wins. Yeah.
Yes, we definitely. You know, look, there are days, you know, and where I say, you know, can I do this? Can I do this? And then, you know, you can do it, because you just, you know, some days, no. We had a few guests on, I think it was a few weeks ago, where we were talking about the fact that not every day is a writing day. You know, and even though we say, okay, I'm writing this day, sometimes it just doesn't happen. You know, it's mm-hmm. not coming out the right way. But if you sit there and you start writing and maybe you're not that thrilled with it, just keep going, because something will happen. You know, if you sit there and or go somewhere else or rip it up and say it's horrible, which is sometimes I do that because I go, who's going to read this? And, you know, everybody gets aggravated. I think there's not an author. Well, a lot of authors think they're fabulous, and those are the ones that are gone, a lot of them. Because very few writers actually think that their work after, you know, maybe you read it 5 years later, 4 years later, and go, oh, it's not so bad, you know, but while you're doing it, it's tough.
Right.
It's not easy.
Well, and I do think that editing has everything to do with having a good book, and a lot of, you know, I used to see more self-published, and what we're seeing more is indie published, and the way that I differentiate in my mind between self-published and indie published are the indie published people are the ones who get the professionals around them, and they edit and edit and edit, and then they get a book editor to edit it, and then they get somebody to come up with the cover, and they really want it to be the best product they can make it.
Right.
You know,
right,
and I'm so glad you said that, because Marcia knows too, I sit on the opposite side of the desk of being just a writer. I also work on the publishing side of things, with editing and stuff, and I do more. I mean, I can proofread, obviously, because I mean, proofreading doesn't take too much of a brain. But I pretty much do.
That's
contact,
not true. See, that's not really true, because anything you do with editing is hard. Proofreading,
right?
But
a lot of people, when they think of an editor, they think of proofreading. Is what I'm trying to say, and they don't realize that when you actually get an editor, they're actually looking at content.
Yeah.
And I get so many authors who get, not all of them, but I get a lot. They get really mad at me because I hack up their manuscript. I'm like, this needs to be tighter, you know, and you're wandering here. Like, this whole paragraph has nothing to do with the storyline, and it, you know, it's great, but it shouldn't be here. And they just stare at you like, oh, my gosh. And I always look at them. I'm like, are you just writing this because you just had this great idea and this is going to be your first book ever and you may or may never write again? Or are you a career writer? Because that's,
right.
You know.
Yeah, that's so true. It's true, though, because, you know, I go back and forth a lot of times, and every author has their own, and I think Willow had someone on her show that was talking a lot of times when people listen to shows, they go, oh, that's me, because that's why not only our shows but other shows, and listen to other writers, what they say, because you go like, oh, that's me, because you're not alone. We, you know, a lot of us do a lot of the same things, you know, and we drive ourselves crazy sometimes, you know, and we never think we're good enough a lot of times, and, you know, the more you do it, but I go back and forth a lot because I make sure that it fits, and I like my characters to be a certain way, and I'm very fussy. They have to be the way, because they do what they do, but you also can't just out of nowhere put somebody in and then leave them and then never come to them again. And people go, like, what happened to that character? And they go, oh, I forgot about them. You can't forget
really
about
them. And the more you read in your own genre and what you're wanting to write, the more you read other people's work, I think the more it helps ultimately with your own writing.
But for me, audio books, to me, do most of your authors have the audio now?
A lot of them do. That's
yeah.
true. A lot of them
do. I like the audio.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and from what I understand, Amazon's getting ready to come out with something to try to keep their finger on the pulse with keeping people interested in Kindle, and that is that you'll be reading an e-book, and then they're going to start making it possible that when you get into your car, your Kindle will stop where the audio, if you buy it from Amazon, will start so that you can get in the car and it'll just keep reading to you from right where you left off.
But if you have Audible, you can put it on your phone, an iPhone, and then then I put it on in the car because then you're listening, you know, and that's undivided. I mean, you're supposed to look what you're doing, but it's better than being on the phone because on the phone can be a lot more dangerous than listening, you know. And so for me as a writer, it helps me hear how their dialogue is and what they're saying. And, you know, because a lot of times I know that when you're writing, people go, don't say he asked this and she asked that. But I've been noticing when it's on audio that a lot of people do that. Because there's only so many ways you could sit there and think of what to say instead of ask a question. When people, you know, spend time on that. And then I'm noticing when you're hearing it, it's a lot different because then you really hear every word.
That's
and it's
true.
Like a study. It's like studying.
Well, we have a lot of authors that read to their dogs. If they'll get a dog and they'll read to the dog out loud so that they can see how does it sound and what's the cadence like. And actually, there was a thing on Facebook in the last couple of weeks where authors were posting pictures of who their writing buddy was, and a lot of them were dogs and cats. So yeah.
Oh my God. Buddy. You know, I think we might have a caller. I don't know if we have I think we might have a caller, but I'm going to put them on, and if they don't want to talk, they won't talk, and I'll just take them off. Because is that okay? They might have a question. Julie, is that all right? Okay.
That's great.
Hi. Do you have a question for Julie?
No, I was just listening. Hi, Marcia.
Oh, hi. Okay. Okay. Hi. How are you? Okay. Ashley Fontaine. She's a really good writer. Okay. I just thought you might have a question. All right. Thank you. Okay. Ashley's a really good writer. And you know what? And she listens to shows because you always hear something that you might not be aware of yourself. And that's why it helps.
Yeah.
Even the best writers are listening and studying. Usually the best writers are doing that. Because they want to always
true.
Get better.
And I would say, you know, there's not one way to the finish line when it comes to publicity for books.
Right.
I believe that there are so many different ways. And what we do is we like to talk to the author and see what's their lifestyle, what do they like to do, what do they not like to do. And so we don't try to make somebody do something that they don't like to do because there are plenty of things you can do that you like, you know, that you enjoy. And so, you know, if you break out in hives from having to speak in front of people, well, then we don't put you in front of people. And
so you customize your authors then.
Yeah,
which
I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Now you have a lot of indie authors, and like they are rising to the top because you're helping them rise to the top because it's just that bit of all the services that you do and your information that helps them. Like you have on there, I think I actually put it on World of Ink, Sandra Brannon.
Yes, she's amazing. She's amazing. She's released her sixth book, and she's just terrific. And then we have Danny Errico had his second book come out, and I was delighted when we worked with him on his first book, and it was a children's book that I just loved, a picture book. And I found out after we had finished working with him, you know, again, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And in over the next 2 years, he sold 100,000 copies, more than 100,000 copies.
He's a children's author. That is so hard. I mean, you know, we talk about this
hard.
A lot. We have a lot of children's authors, and a lot of them have given up, and they're disappearing because it's so hard. So he just hung in there. Is that what he did? And he used you, which helped them get. Was it a new book?
I mean, we try to ignite the. I mean, we're sort of the kindling to get the word of mouth going, because ultimately, what'll sell your book is when people start talking about you, and
so
that's what a publicist should do. But yeah, people just found out about his book, liked his book, started showing up on more bestseller lists, so more people became interested. And it does just grow like a mushroom. And then S.A. Alexander, we represent her also, and she's a mystery author, and she is she's selling enough books so that she could, in her own right, have that completely as her own career at this
point.
And if she, yeah, and I'm always so happy for authors when I realize that they're looking at selling, you know, tens of thousands of books and hundreds of thousands of books, you know, because less than 1% of all authors sell 1,000 books. So
yes,
the more, so I love to see, the success. And I'll tell you, strangely enough, one of the things that the two things that most of our authors who have been amazingly successful have in common are they're very likable, very nice people, and they never stop working hard. And I mean, Cheryl Rainfield has 5 books out, and she writes gritty YA books, and I'm so honored to represent her. And she promotes her books. She writes every day, and she promotes her books every single day. And for 6 years, I don't think there's been a day that she hasn't promoted her books in one way or another.
Yeah.
And it just takes that.
So it takes 6 years.
Yeah. And,
okay, 6 years.
Yeah,
see,
6 years. Oh, and
yeah.
Another thing that's really good to do, another thing that you can do yourself is there are some great award programs, some great contests that you can enter. The Indie Excellence Award contest, I think, is great. The Beverly Hills Book Awards contest. There are a lot of them, but that also ends up getting people a lot of notoriety, especially in their local media. Once they win an award, their local media will pick it up, so their book comes out, and then a year later they win this award, a literary award, and then the newspaper runs something again for them.
Yeah. See, now, what about for people? See, I think that even if your book is a few years old, I think it's not too late to start, because I think people out there, they're readers don't care. They want a good book. So what do you say to people maybe for a couple of years have had a book and they know it really is a good book in your heart? You know if you have a good book sometimes, and it should be out there.
Yeah.
And so it's not too late, is it, to start?
What I recommend to people, it's not too late for readers as long as readers can find you. The problem are the gatekeepers.
Yeah,
and
I know, yeah.
And so, what I recommend to people is, yeah, that they you can go ahead and do a second edition of your book and re-release it as new, and then it gives it a new life for being able to get reviews again. And
yeah,
I know it
sells reviews.
Yeah.
What about Kirkus?
Yeah.
Are people still going to Kirkus? We had them on a show a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, I really, really like Kirkus now. I think that they're spot on with a lot of their reviews. I think they're honest reviews. They're positive. Kirkus used to be owned by someone else, and I'll bet...
Right, I know, we knew that, yeah.
And
so it's different now, you think?
Now,
it's different?
I really like. Yeah, because it used to be that... I would be scared when I first got in this business to see what the review was going to be, because a lot of times Kirkus would have really negative reviews. But now they're very balanced reviews, and a lot of times they're positive, and they speak more to the reader than Kirkus used to be written for librarians to decide whether to bring books into their libraries and bookstore owners. So they were written differently, but now it's for the general consumer, and so they're more upbeat, and they share more information that a reader really wants to know.
Here's a question for you, Julie, talking about reviews, and because we're talking about Kirkus especially. I mean, they charge – I mean, I know people can send their book in for free and, you know, they may or may not read it. But generally, you know, most people pay a fee. The thing, though, that I've seen – and I know this is the old school thinking, but it's still out – and it's out there, unfortunately, very predominantly – is I still hear a lot when I go to conferences, and I don't know if you do when you go to yours, but I've been to still where I go to conferences, I will hear every so often where people are like, you should never pay for a review, you should never pay for, you know, anything for your book to get published, and they're always like, you should never be putting money out. And so I think a lot of these authors that are out there, and I hear it a lot in the children's market because that's where I write, and so I go to a lot more children's conferences than just like general conferences, and I hear it mostly there, and I'm going, you know, no wonder why a lot of these children authors are getting frustrated, especially like indie authors, because they're thinking, I'm not supposed to be putting, they're constantly told, you should not be paying for anything unless it's a writing workshop or, a conference or something like that, but you shouldn't be paying for public, they're like, your publisher should be doing your publicity, you should only be you should still have a marketing budget, but, you shouldn't be putting thousands of dollars out there, your publisher should be doing that, and I'm just like, really, guys, you shouldn't pay for reviews, you shouldn't this, you shouldn't that, I'm going, but I, being somebody who took an entrepreneurial class, I mean, I remember my entrepreneurial class, the first thing that came out of my college professor's mouth was, if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you're not willing to invest money in yourself, no one's going to invest in you. So I'm like, wouldn't that apply to books and being an author? Because that's kind of what you're doing. You're kind of an entrepreneur.
You are, because that's what Julie said at the beginning. It's a business. Yeah. It is a business.
Yeah. It is a business. And I would say, a lot of us in our firm are former journalists, and we used to really struggle with that whole idea of paying for a review. But I think I can explain it in a way that does make sense why that's necessary for indie authors. If you look at it, Kirkus and Publishers Weekly and Book Page, Book List, those publications always had advertising by the major publishers. Well, the major publishers always had reviews then. So the editorial was supported by the advertising, and the advertising was supported by the editorial. And so the way that they look at it is, an indie author is not going to be advertising for the next 5 years every month in their magazine, but somebody's got to pay for it, and a big five publisher is not wanting to have their money going, the money that they're paying for advertising, to go to review a bunch of indie books. So they say, for an honest review, we would like, then there are just costs associated with it, because they've got to pay people to do the review. And then they also have to print it in the publication. And so I don't have a problem with it, especially because Kirkus is a good example. A few years ago, we were tracking it, and I just haven't asked in the last year our team the question, but I'm sure it's still the same, that we had 24 paid reviews with Kirkus. 20 were good reviews. 2 were not good reviews. They were bad reviews. And 2 were the books were returned and the money was returned. And for one reason or another, they said they couldn't do it. Now, I don't necessarily agree with what they said, but I respected the fact that they, 4 times, they said, nope, this is, you're not going to get a glowing review. It doesn't matter how much money you spend. And mm-hmm. I like that as a journalist. There's just a financial realism to the fact that somehow they've got to be able to pay the costs for reviewing your book.
And I'm glad you're saying that because that's one thing, that Marcia and I, have talked about over and over again is, a lot of, so we have people come to us a lot who want us to do stuff, but they want us to do stuff for free. And, I hear that a lot in conferences. We're like, you can get this stuff for free, you can get this stuff for free. I'm starting thinking, okay, but the people who are doing it for free are doing it more for a hobby. The people who are doing this who are professionals, who really, are getting, like you're saying, like Kirkus, is going to really give you an honest feedback, who are connected to people in the network where it matters, they have to make money, or why would they be doing this, And I think there's like that disconnect in people's head, like, I would love to review your book for free, but I tell people, I'm like, if I review your book for free, how can I review your book for free and put it on my blog when, mm-hmm. World of Ink offers tours and it's conflict of interest. And people get upset at me. I'm like, sorry, it's like, I have a business.
See, the problem with tours, Julie said too, the problem with tours is, a lot of times years ago, people would come into the tours, the book tours that were written, and then you go read the book or you comment. See, the thing is, now people aren't commenting. That doesn't mean people aren't looking at the blog or looking at anything. It's just that they don't want anybody to bother them again, so they just go in and read it and don't write anything. But there are people in there looking at it. See, that's the thing. And they do need this sometimes, but, and they need reviews, but not as many as some of them have. And my problem is with reviews, you don't have to get a 5-star review. You can get a 4-star. There's nothing. You can even get a 3-star. But I think that if you have your friends out there giving you 5 stars, and then you have other people out there, it might not be a 5-star. I mean, you can't keep having all these 5-star books because they're not really 5 stars. They're just friends mm-hmm. giving you 5 stars a lot of times. And, you know, that could be a problem. That's what's happening, because then if you really get a good reviewer, then they go, well, who cares? You know, I mean, because some people have 100, they have like 50, 60, 100 reviews, and that's hard to get, 100 reviews.
Yeah.
Really
hard. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
But people do, and they pay for them. They pay people, and they go out there and try to get them, and their friends read them, but they're not really reading the book, a lot of them. That's the other thing, you know. And, I mean, there's so much of that going on.
Well, right now, there's a company that's being sued for doing the paid reviews on Amazon, and so Amazon started really cracking down, and there's pretty soon there are going to be some really horrible things coming out about paid reviews for people being paid to post on Amazon and Goodreads. If that makes sense. Reviewers.
Yeah, no,
exactly.
I know,
need to be
right.
Paid.
Yeah,
no, I totally know what you're talking about, because I'm an Amazon Vine reviewer as well. I'm like all over the place, and I've been getting a lot of information about that. I mean, because even before, they used to never put down if we were Vine reviewers when we would post our reviews. It just, you know, put us, you know, that we're a high rank, you know, reviewers for Amazon, and now it says Vine Voice next to our name, so people know that, you know, people have paid Amazon to submit their stuff for us to select what we want to review. And then post, and they actually cracked down on us before we could take quite a few, you know, few months or weeks to review. If we don't get a review up within 30 days, they suspend us from being able to review any other products.
Wow,
how we
that's
get our
fascinating.
Stuff up. Yes. They've cracked down even on the Vine reviewers. So, and it's,
well, because you know, I mean, there's just whatever the market was years ago, it's not now. And it's changing, and that's why someone like you, Julie, you know what's going on. But a lot of the people are doing the same marketing they did, and that doesn't work. It's not happening. You know, and Goodreads, you know, I try with Goodreads to go in there, and when I go in, I go, I need to be out of this place now. I can't. It's so insane. You know, you go in there, and it's like, this one's going to read your book, and that one's going to read, and they're never reading your book. I mean, so what is that about? Nobody's reading anybody's books. They're just in there. And, you know, and it's ridiculous. And, you know, you're laughing because it's true. You know, so, oh, I might read your book, and maybe, and they probably never are going to read any of these books. Some of them do. I'm not saying everybody. But, I mean, people are just, it's like with friends. You know, if you have a lot of friends, you know, it's nothing anymore. Facebook has stopped sharing things, because I know people have said to me, they go like, are you doing shows? I'm going like, what? I mean, we're posting all the time. They don't get our show sometimes on their Facebook page for a week.
Oh, that's what happens to me. I know, because I go.
Is that what it does happen to you too?
I don't get that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you want to post something, you got to keep posting it. And even though you think it's repetitious, it's not really, because they may never have gotten it. And I think that's a problem.
I think that's,
you know,
true.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, I mean, going with someone like you, if you can afford to, I do think this is, you know, when you were on the first, what we're saying, like, well, maybe other things can work. This really doesn't work for people anymore. You know, they're only posting it, and they're charging you, maybe it's $75, $100 a month, whatever, but it's not going anywhere. It's just going in a round-robin circle. To the people that have already read it, and they just go, you know, they like it, they share it. They don't even want to share anymore. They're liking it, and then you see a lot of posts now. There's no likes, and there's no shares, and I don't know what that is about. I really don't. I think it's just not, maybe it's not appearing. I really don't know anymore, because you know people are seeing these things and are liking it and sharing it, but you're not seeing it. So I don't, they want you to, you know, pay for ads, I think. Are you doing ads? Do you do ads?
They definitely want you to pay for ads.
Are you doing ads? I mean,
yes,
we did them. I used to do a lot more ads, but are you doing them still?
I would say we used to do them for the World of Ink, but we've cut back on doing them ourselves, too.
Yeah. What about you, Julie?
Yeah, we do some if there's a call to action, if there's something specific or something big, like 2 weeks ago, we had USA Today did the cover reveal for one of our books. And so we wanted a lot of people to be able to see that. So we put a link on Facebook and we boosted that and we paid for advertising for that because that was something that they could click on. But in general, we don't pay for it. But I did, when I was at Pay It Forward conference, I heard from several people that said that they have big budgets that they use when they first release their book and that they've found that they get big sales. And I don't know if it's because of their genre or I'm not sure exactly why that is, but there were several, and I was surprised because they said that they were actually doubling their money when their advertising budget was $1,000 a day. They were more than doubling back what they made.
Wow.
But I don't know, you know, I mean, that could be, that's completely anecdotal.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, right, if people can afford, that's a lot, you know, because that's a lot to take a gamble on, because there's other ways they can do it. What about press releases? How are you feeling about the press releases these days?
Well, with press, I mean, we have electronic press kits that, and press releases are part of that for our authors, but a press release that doesn't have follow-up isn't going to get anywhere, most likely, unless it's incredibly provocative.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to have a press release, but I think that you've got to highly target who you give it to, let them know why they're the ones who are getting it. You know, if it's a book about baseball and it's somebody that writes for, the LA Times and they happen to be a huge fan of being in their son's baseball coach or something, they might do something for that wouldn't ordinarily happen, and so you kind of got to let them know the reason I'm specifically giving this to you is for this reason. I'm not just blasting this to everybody.
Yeah. What genre do you see is, romance is still big, but, you know, the erotic, and it seems to be, you know, dwindling down since 50 Shades came out. People have been there, done that, and so I'm not, you know, how is that? What's going on, you think?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've been so surprised with how much, I guess maybe because it wasn't a genre that I knew as much about, because you've known about it for a long time, but I've been surprised. There are people that I know that are making a living at it. And Publishers Weekly posts, and I just haven't looked recently to see, but they post by genre what genres are the number of books selling in each genre each week or each month.
Uh-huh.
And so I could pull those numbers up and give them to you. I just don't happen to have them with me right now.
Right. See, like the erotic, you know, I think that, you know, because we do have a lot of shows like that on, you know, and I think a lot of people shouldn't shy away from just some words because, you know, even when I'm listening to audiobooks, that's when you realize what kind of words, and you know what? They're swearing in almost every book. And they're saying a lot of these things that the erotic writers say, but it's just in a regular, you know, it's a regular novel. You know, it's part of life now, how people talk. And they shouldn't be so shocked by the vocabulary but certainly you notice it more when you're listening to it audio. Because I'm going I'm listening to the book, A Girl on a Train, and I'm going and I'm listening to it. I love that book. I thought it was really good on audio. And I'm listening to it and I'm hearing all of the words. I'm going like, so what am I so worried about any words that I used? Because I'm thinking, this person is so successful at this. And, you know, and I'm worried about, maybe I should take the words out and start all over again. And who needs these words? But, you know, it's part of life now. And
yes.
I think that, you know, most people swear. You know, and when you swear in a book, these are real people that are supposed to be characters. You know, you want them to be believable. So I guess it's the way it is now, you know. And that's, you really notice it a lot when you're listening that way, you know, more than even on paper.
That's interesting.
It
right.
is. I listen every word. You know, that's how I learn better from listening. You know, some people have audio, you know, it really is true. You know, and the narrator matters, because we were talking about that yesterday on a show. And Virginia's friend, who is our host now, Tracy, she is blind, and she said she reads tons of books, and it matters. The narrator matters.
Right.
Because
if it's
not a good narrator, you're leaving.
Movies or whatever.
So I think I think the market for audio will probably be going up more, because I think it is a little expensive, though, a month but it's a really interesting, but you know, it's like Netflix is, you know, taken over a lot. So it's like the market has changed. There's a lot of different things happening. So you are someone that keeps abreast of everything, and that's why people need to think about going to somebody that knows where the market is, not just doing same old.
Yeah, I do think we try to stay ahead of the trends, and we try to look. There are things that we did 3 years ago that we don't do now, things that we did even 6 months ago that we didn't do, that we don't do now, and then there will be things a year from now that we haven't even thought of. That
Exactly. Yeah, because that's why we try to change it up. You have to change it up, you know.
Good.
Because otherwise, you know, people, you know, that's how the world is. It's very fast-paced.
Well, here's a question for you too, Julie. Just, you know, going back to what you do, and I mean, I know you can't answer for all publicist companies out there because, you know, obviously everybody works a little differently. But, you know, I know, you know, any author who's listening to this is thinking, you know, I've thought about getting a publicist. You know, I'm an indie author. I'm traditionally published, but I don't get huge royalty checks, or, you know, I'm indie published, so, you know, obviously it's my money. I don't have a huge budget.
Yeah.
You know, what can those guys do who are career writers, who are trying to get their name out there to make it bigger so they can, you know, see bigger checks come, hopefully, to get a publicist? Because, I mean, that's something I've even contemplated many times where I'm like, you know, I'm just so busy. I can't do my own marketing for myself because I'm doing, you know, I teach over at Dixie University writing course. You know, I'm director of the St. George Book Festival. I do World of
Inks. There's only a limit, right? There's just a limit.
You know, I'm trying to write my own books. You know, there's only so much I can do. So I do thought, I really need to get a publicist, but I'm like, you know, I just, mm-hmm. I don't get royalty checks, that are big enough to what I would think would support, you know, publicists. And so I'm like, ooh, so are there options for people in those situations, you know, these kind of authors?
That is a really good question, and it's something that I try to be really transparent and honest about, and that is publicity is different than advertising, because when you advertise, you should be able to see the results immediately. And publicity is building. It's building a brand. It's just like, you know, why do we know what Colgate toothpaste is? Because for years we've seen it everywhere, and so it just takes a long time with publicity. And so I always tell people that the chance of you making your money back right away is very, very slim. So it is, it's just an investment in the future. And for people, there's some people who have just one book in them and for whatever reason they want to promote that book. But generally the people who are going to get more bang for their buck out of publicity are those who say, I'll do whatever it takes for the first two books, and then hopefully by the third book, the momentum will be going, and then they'll just be invited to do things, and they'll be well-known enough so that they don't have to work as hard. But you end up on the front end, you don't make the money back. People will say, I don't want to go to an event unless I'm going to make the money back on going.
Yeah.
And you're not
going to
make the money back.
Right.
And so I mean, that's the hard truth. We work with authors, and we've worked with authors that now have a bunch of books out that it worked, but on the front end, it's not a business model where you make the money. It's just like any company where they want to launch a new product, they have to put the money out and they don't get it back for a while. It's too bad. There are some publicity firms that I think do media where you only pay for it if you get it, and if they land it. And I don't know very much about those companies. I don't know if that works or not, but I've read about them.
Yeah, how many years have you been doing this? How many years?
This is our 15th year as a PR firm and 10 years as focusing specifically on authors and books and publishers. So
that's a reason for people to get it. That you didn't just start yesterday. You know, that's why you have a following yourself. People know you. If you tell someone it's a good book, they're going to believe you. You know, that's what's important. That's why if you just go with someone that just started out, and unfortunately, I hate to say this, but a lot of these people, they leave. It's 2 minutes and they're gone, you know, and they're supposed to be PR firms and they're editing and they're publishing and they're doing everything, but they're not, they're gone. Disappear. They disappeared. And so they should go to somebody like you or, you know, that's been in the business, not just a startup company, because a lot of these startup companies, they're done. They don't have any longevity. They're gone.
Honestly, a lot of the startup companies that I feel like you're talking about, Marcia, and I'm not trying to, like, pick on anybody out there. But
no, right. We're not saying that.
They're like indie authors or indie publishers who have been doing this for a while. So, like, oh, what? We can do this, too. And you can't unless you've got the background for it.
Well, the other thing is, if they don't respond to you, unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there, they don't respond back. If they don't respond back to you, then you need to move on, because this is not good. I mean, you know, Julie, the people that are with, you know, JKS, you know, you ask for something or you say something, they're right on it, okay? And you can't.
Oh, thank you. Well, we try.
Right, but you can't have that.
We're
you,
well,
you don't know who they are, where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do talk to people who have practically been through post-traumatic syndrome, who have worked with publicists that disappear and take their money. And I think that's just horrible. The way that... There are a couple of things to protect yourself in finding a publicist. One is, if you're doing your due diligence and trying to figure out who to use, there are two things that you should do. You should obviously talk to them and interview them, and then also you should look at some of the books that they've represented and then do some research to see how much are those books out there. Even if you're not familiar with the book, has the book gotten traction? Has the book gotten reviews that are online? Are there, you know, is there news? Is there noise out there about that book? And then you would know that the publicist knows what they're doing. And then,
right.
And I would say, like, a lot of our authors have anywhere from 50 to 75 straight pages of information about their books on online. So, you know, if you Google a book and it's only showing up on Amazon and Goodreads and maybe one or two other places, then probably the publicist is not as aggressive as they could be. And then the other thing, too, is what was I going to say about the other part of it? Well, you want to the other thing is that when it comes to paying a publicist, I wouldn't pay somebody 100% up front, because we end up talking to people who have paid, and you wouldn't do that for most things, and you need to be able to see what's happening. In our case, we feel like we need to be held accountable. My background, I'm 52 now, but when I was in my 20s, I was in not-for-profit management, and we had to show our donors what we did with the money, and so I try to do that in this business, too, since it's kind of a smoke and mirrors business, or it can be.
Yeah.
So we
yeah.
have something where we invite an author into a portal that we create for them online. And anytime at 3 o'clock in the morning, if they're worried about what's happening with their campaign, they can look and they can see all the conversations and what the publicists internally are saying and what feedback's happening. And And their deadlines, and they can see, did we hit our deadline? We said we were going to do this on this day. Did we do it? If we did, what happened? And so you want some accountability from your publicist.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's really good, because that's true.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because you wonder sometimes of what's happening, you know, and a lot of people, you know, people are always saying, oh, I don't have money for this or I don't have money for that. But the thing is, then they do have money for some things that really don't benefit them. And that's when it goes bad for them.
Yeah, I've had people tell me that they've paid, like, you know, I love the fact that you say don't pay somebody, you know, 100% up front, because I've known authors who have hired publicists where, you know, the publicist is like, okay, well, you know, it's going to be $10,000, and so they, you know, take out a loan or get family to, you know, help back them or whatever, and have paid that up front, and then they're like, you know, and you know, they get a little bit of traction, but not a lot, and then they find out later in, like, this contract they signed, I kid you not, I had a friend who had this, and then they had, like, a retainer, what was a $5,000 retainer after that, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And they have to be careful about what they sign.
And I would say,
go ahead.
Yeah, that really, really drives me crazy.
When I
talk to people and they don't have the budget, I really say, you know, being in the book business, with 8,200 books a day coming out in the United States, there are no guarantees. If there were, then publishers would publish less books because they know which ones are going to hit. So we only represent books that we like and we believe that we can get behind and that we think the author can make movement with.
Yeah.
But none of us know. And so I always say it's like Las Vegas. You know, if you can't afford to lose the money, don't do it because you don't know for sure. And there's one man that keeps asking me over and over again if we'll work with him, and he wants to take out a loan, and I've just said absolutely not. And for 3 years I've said no, because I won't do that. That's just because it's too scary.
It's not a good thing, right? And and that's the thing. I've had people come to me that they've had their book self-published by someone that's charged them $15,000, $18,000, and they don't even get copies of the books. So, I mean, this is why all three of us are on this show, because we all feel that way, that you really have to be careful. And if you're spending a lot of money and you can't afford it, this is not a good thing. It's bad.
No, don't do it. And the predatory, there's lots of predatory practices among the publishers that they say that they're partner publishers, but they really want money from you.
Yeah,
and there are ways. I mean, go through Lightning Source. Go through
CreateSpace. Yeah.
There are reasons to go through one or the other or both, and a lot of our authors use both that are indie published. But be really, really careful of companies that are saying that they want you to pay $15,000 up front, because there are a couple of companies now when the people contact us and say, and one of them is in Chicago, and when an author says I'm publishing with this company, I'll say, well, you're going to lose money because every book that you're going to print, they've created a situation where you're going to lose money. So you don't want to lose money by spending money on publicity.
No.
That's right.
You just have to know. You could ask people questions. Yeah. You know, like we always are open. Our lines are always open, and you know, we answer questions. And that's why when we have a show, we want somebody. We're careful about who we have on our shows, because we don't have people on that are going to give bad information, because this is not a good thing. We are not. You know, I mean, we are very careful who we have on. You know, Virginia and I have
You've heard horror stories. You're talking. Just now, Julie, when you're talking about, you know, this author and taking out loans and stuff, I know another publishing company that they say that you're traditionally published, they accept your book, but then they say you have to pay them $5,000 for your portion of the publicity of the book. And I'm like, what?
Julie, actually, whenever you have new programs or things that you want to run by us or you want us to post for you, we will, because we know that you know what you're doing. And
thank you.
And so, you know, anything new comes up, just let us know, because we want people to go to the right people.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm always happy to answer questions for people. And a lot of what I do now, we've got great people that do the pitching for the media and set up the events, but a lot of what I personally do in our company now is spend time trying to help people understand how to avoid predatory practices in publishing, because there are just so many people that get screwed, and I hate that.
Yeah, I know. We talk about this all the time, and that is true. And that's why we've done shows for 5 years, and you know, and we try to have the best advice, that's why I'm so glad finally we got to have you on here. I know, because you are so busy.
Thank you.
You know, you really are. And you know, but you do know, and you know, it's helped me to listen to some of the things you've said right now, and I'm sure Virginia, you know, has felt that way too, because we know that you know what you're talking about.
Well, you guys are in the trenches. I mean, you know from your experience in the media and from being leaders in the literary publicity or in the literary sector, as well as being authors. So that makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference. All right, and we are going to have Mary McNear on the show in August, and that should be interesting because she's got a lot going. Her books are incredible. You know, I got an audio, and I know you're sending me the book, and I looked her up. I mean, she's got a lot going on. And I asked her.
She does. She's a New York Times and USA Today bestseller, she's amazing. Yeah, she's terrific.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad. Thank you for having her. Yeah.
Oh, no, we want her, because I saw her. I went, like, do you think I could have her? Because, you know, I mean, we want people that give good information and have been there, done that. For new people.
Yeah.
There's always new people writing. you know, and our message is always to keep writing. And, you know, that's nice that you answer questions for people, and that's what we do too, because people aren't born knowing this.
No.
I mean, this takes time. This is hard. This is very hard, you know. And some of the things that you hear out there, it's like you go, oh, they can't be doing this, you know. And I see it, and then I'm seeing more and more the people on Facebook going like, oh, my God, you know, and they're mad and they're yelling at someone, and and I'm thinking, what are you doing? This is just, you know, it's insane what goes on out there. So they have to be careful, too. Don't get involved with a lot of people that aren't good for you. You know, check the people out.
That's right. True. Yeah,
so
definitely.
Your website is JKS.
JKScommunicationsWithAnS.com.
Okay, no, good. Because is there anything you'd want to say at the end to tell people, you know?
Oh, no, I just so appreciate being on, and we do try to be a part of the community and try to be a good resource, and we do try to be supportive of authors in giving information. And I would say not everybody, if you don't have the financial ability at the moment to pay a publicist, then just make sure that you're doing everything you possibly can and be as likable as possible out there in the community of authors and readers, and just be a part of that community in any way that you can be.
Yeah, be likable. Don't get in fights with people on Facebook. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
This is not a good thing for a career to be doing things like this. All right, thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate you coming
on.
We both do. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Bye. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Virginia, are you still on?
I am.
Okay, do you have any shows coming up?
No, I'm still kind of in the background right now for the summer.
Right.
I probably have some stuff that's going to pop up next.
Okay, I have Lee Michaels coming on again for Historical Romance, and I have the Schneiders. Schneiders are coming on to do songwriting, and Julie's from Nashville, so I keep saying I want to go there. I do. I will go eventually, because it's really an interesting place. There's so much that goes on there, you know, and that should be pretty fun. All right, and I think JD has a show, but a lot of the people are off for the summer. Willow has some shows coming up, and hopefully Jack Remick will be on with me one of these days soon. And I'm so glad you came out, because she's really good, Julie. I mean,
yes,
she's,
yes.
That's why I wanted her to say how many years. It's not just 1 year.
No. It's like, 15, almost 30 years, something like that, is when you do all the math together, her background, like how much experience she has.
She has a lot of experience. And her authors are successful because, you know, you do have to have somebody behind you sometimes. I mean, we're changing our thoughts, you and I, you know, over the years, because we see what goes on. Of what you need, you know, and services, and how important, you know, radio shows are important, you know, and that's why she likes that too, because it's very important, because, you know, you get to talk to the author and they get to hear, you know, about you. And I think people love that. I really do. I like to hear it. I really do. It's so interesting. All right. So have a great day. And I will be back in a couple weeks or sooner, depending on we never know, right?
Yeah, you never know.
I wrote notes on all the things she said, pay it forward, all those, you know, places that, you know, maybe I'll look up and see what they are so we could maybe talk about them.
Yeah, she mentioned some that I didn't know about. I mean, there's a few that I know about that I haven't gone
to. She said Killer Nashville. I'll have to look at that. And The Porch. That's, you know, those are all those places. So I'm going to check that out, because I do think, you know, there are people that go to conferences and do things, but sometimes, you know, they have spent a lot of money to do it, but if it's not beneficial sometimes, that's kind of a bad thing, you know. And there are so many out there, you know, which ones are good. And maybe we'll try to get some of the people from Kyrgyzstan again, because that would be, you know, something to hear. And, you know, if Amazon is changing some things, it's very tough out there. After, you know, the amount of time, like for 5 years, like we've been doing shows, things have changed so much that, you know, I think most of these places now are leery of what goes on. There's so much happening. And it's so much that doesn't work. And they have to watch it because, you know, there's a lot of people out there doing whatever they're doing and they're not actually legitimate.
Right.
So you got to have some watchdogs, I think.
Yeah, I think you do too.
Yeah, I know. Even though people don't like rules, you need rules sometimes. And there aren't any a lot of times. So now I think, you know, not that it should be rules, but just something to guide people, which is what we try to do. All right, so I'm going to be writing now. I'm very good at this. I'm doing it every day now because otherwise I will lose my trains of thought. And that you have to keep your train of thought when you're writing.
Yeah.
And so we'll, you have a new book coming out, so we'll premiere that soon.
Yes, it should be out by early fall.
Okay, and we're going to work on some ideas for children's books because that's a toughie to get people out there. That's tough.
Yeah, and I mean, and I love the fact that, you know, Julie says that, you know, it can happen. She works with authors who are in the children's market. It's just,
yeah.
You know, again, they have to, you have to vest in yourself. That's really the big thing.
I think the thing is, you know, I shy away from handing people cards and not do that as much. I need to do that, too. I mean, I think, you know, because I like to talk to people, but not about myself. And I think that that's not really good. You have to talk about yourself sometimes because people don't know. How will they know?
Yeah.
And especially on Twitter, you don't do it. I don't think I do it either. We don't really talk about ourselves and engage that way. We engage on our shows, but not on Twitter and things like that. But maybe that is a good way.
Right.
You know, we always feel you shouldn't talk about ourselves, but I think this is what you need to do. All authors.
Yeah.
You know, in a good way. You know, not driving people crazy, but just enough to do it.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll talk to you soon, and thank you, everybody, for listening. And that's it.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night.